Hi guys, I know this is the first podcast I've done in a long time, so I thought I'd actually do something helpful. Okay, so the reason I'm doing this is because I'm going to do a podcast about antipsychotics, which are quite often prescribed for people with bipolar and people with borderline personality disorder. So let me discuss my recent experience. Now, I was having paranoid episodes. I had quite a serious one Saturday just gone. It's Wednesday now. Well, technically Thursday because it's 5:05. Anyway, so I had a psych appointment on Tuesday. She really listened to me and she's put me on risperidone. Starting off at 0.5, and I reckon I'm going to end up on 2 milligrams. We're then going to tackle my antidepressants, but that's a whole other podcast. So, rather than putting my swing on things, I thought I'd just give you some clear information about antipsychotics, and I found a really good page. It's on the Royal College of Mental Health, Royal College of Psychiatry, sorry, and it's called Antipsychotics. So I just have to read the disclaimer because, you know, this web page provides information, not advice. You should read our full disclaimer before reading further. But I'm not going to do that because we know that this is just information. That's all I'm providing, okay? So this was published in April of this year, 2019. Royal College of Psychiatrists. So, the first one is, what are antipsychotic medications used for? I'll just read it straight up. They are a range of medications that are used for some types of mental distress or disorder, mainly schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, sometimes called manic depression. They can also be used to help anxiety or depression where it is severe or difficult to treat. So, next one is, I listened to a podcast and it's called The Bipolar Family, and Bipolar Bob swears by a combination of like an anticonvulsant and an antipsychotic, and I'd agree with him. I think antipsychotics can be so useful, and I think sometimes, like, my psychiatrist, I said to her about it helping with depression, and she said, well, you know, that's only used in major depressive disorder. Now, I know quetiapine has been prescribed for depression before, so I think it's treatment resistant, but at the same time, I think antipsychotics, like a lot of medication, are prescribed off a label depending on who you're dealing with. Okay, so how can antipsychotics help? Antipsychotics medicines can help to reduce symptoms such as the experience of hearing voices that no one else can hear, or auditory hallucinations. I'd just say that this is hearing voices outside of your head. Mainly, obviously I don't know because I don't hear voices, but from what I've been told, it's voices outside your head, so you think you're talking to someone that's not there. Okay, so it also helps with ideas that don't seem to be based in reality, delusions, which can be distressing and distracting. Now, I can vouch for that. Paranoid delusions are... My last bout of mania was 2014 to 2015. It lasted 8 months and it was paranoia all the way through, and it was horrible. I didn't even know I had diagnosis of borderline personality disorder then, because you can actually experience hallucinations on that too. Now, obviously, this is, I think this is mainly targeting information regarding schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Okay, so next one is difficulty in thinking clearly and logically, thought disorder. So I suppose that, well, when you're manic and you're making wrong choices through hypersexuality or impulse control or grandiose thinking or the whole wonderful array of things, and similar things in BPD as well, actually. So next one is the marked mood swings of bipolar disorder. So they can be used as a mood stabilizer in some cases, alongside a mood stabilizer. I believe that antipsychotics should be used alongside a mood stabilizer to also stabilize moods, because my doctor at the moment has given me an antipsychotic because I'm suffering from paranoid delusions. Now, I'm actually going through periods of mania if I wasn't on medication. I know you can go into mania when you're on medication, but I'm experiencing forms of hypermania where I just can't sit still, no matter how hard I try. In fact, I've got a series of fidget toys that I use, and I've just found my favourite steel fidget spinner. And I was in bipolar group today, just kind of spinning it around. And then I went for a long walk for the first time in about 4 years. Well, longer than that. And it was just really handy. It keeps me thinking clearly. I mean, what I mean is that I need something to help me not be up and down. It's shorter, and I know you're most likely to get the ups and downs on medication. However, I think these are still two up and downs. I mean, they're not as down, but they're two up. And the last one is depression that is severe or difficult to treat. Then it says, some people with schizophrenia don't seem to show their feelings, have poor motivation and lack of interest in social activities or even caring for themselves. Antipsychotic medicines tend to be less helpful in treatment of these problems. How do we believe antipsychotics work? All of these medicines affect the action of one or more chemicals in the brain called neurotransmitters. These are the chemicals which brain cells need to communicate with each other. Dopamine is the main neurotransmitter affected by these medications. Among other things, it is involved in how we, 1, know that something is significant, important or interesting, how we experience pleasure and reward, and feel motivated. It is also involved in the control of our muscles and movement. If parts of the dopamine system in the brain become overactive, this seems to play a part in producing hallucinations, delusions, or thought disorder, sometimes called psychotic symptoms. Well, it's because they are psychotic symptoms, otherwise you wouldn't be giving an antipsychotic, right? Antipsychotic medicines help people to be less troubled by such problems. The aim is to find a dose of medication that is helpful without making the person feel too sleepy or, this is in quotations, drugged up. See, I've found that I was prescribed quetiapine back in the end of 2015 because I was suffering with such severe depression, and it really made me sleep more. I mean, I was on a much higher dose than they put me on this time. I mean, I only went up 25 milligrams this time, but I think because they only gave me that, it made me really sleepy, whereas quetiapine this time didn't actually really contribute to me being able to sleep. You know, it might have done to an extent, but not really. So I don't know, that's probably different with different dosage. I remember that Just because one medication doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean it's not going to work for someone else. And just because someone else has had negative problems with one medicine doesn't mean that other people will. I had quite a bad experience with aripiprazole in hospital. Yet the woman who runs Bipolar Group UK, my local one, has been on aripiprazole for 10 years. And has been pretty much, she's had two short, like kind of, I think like two or three days long, where she's bought things like, she said she bought two Hoovers and a foot spa thing and something else. And funny enough, she kept the Hoovers, one for upstairs, one for downstairs, but she swears by it. So next one's good choosing an antipsychotic. Most antipsychotic medicines seem to treat psychotic symptoms equally well. Even so, individuals react differently to them, particularly regarding their experience of side effects. That's what I was saying. Especially weight gain, that can be quite a problem with some. Not all. I mean, some medications can make you gain weight, or are weight neutral, or they have a chance of making you gain weight, but are unlikely to. As an example of a side effect. So, it is difficult to predict how well a person's illness will respond to a particular antipsychotic medication. An open trial and error approach by the prescriber and the patient may be necessary to find the medicine that suits them best, and this may take some time. So, I was diagnosed with bipolar in March, however, I was already on a mood stabiliser from hospital in 2016. And I spent long periods of time in depression. I can't say if it would be any if I had a bipolar diagnosis back then, I think things would have been a lot easier, but I had already tried three antipsychotics by then. It was aripiprazole, also known as Abilify, quetiapine, I think that's also known as Seroquel, and Lanzapine. I can't remember what the brand name for that in America and other countries is. And Risperidone is Risperidol. So you have to give it a chance, basically. You need to make sure that you stay in contact with your psychiatrist, and that they have at least 4 weekly checkups to see how you're doing. And I mean, my psychiatrist gave me her email address, and that's actually been quite handy to be able to contact her, because it means that I can sort of say to her, you know, this is something we need to consider in the next meeting, which means that next time we're like in our sessions, we're very precise about what we need to get done, because you only have an hour. Okay, so yeah, just remain patient. You know, I think you will find the right medication for you. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, but this medication did this, and it's like, no, fair enough, absolutely fair enough. I mean, aripiprazole, I could not sit still or stand still. Got to the point where I was pacing the halls of the hospital, and the only way I could get to sleep was by them giving me zopiclone after I'd already had 2 promethazine and 2 levomethazine. And I was just, my brain was asleep, but I had to just keep walking. So yeah, it will take a while. Please don't be put off aripiprazole. It works. In fact, I've known 2 people it's worked really well for. There was a care worker in the hospital, and he had schizophrenia, and he had been an inpatient at some point, and then, yeah, his aripiprazole was his golden ticket, as lamotrigine has been mine. Antipsychotic medicines vary in their side effects. The aim is to try to choose a medicine that's safest for a particular patient, with side effects that are the most acceptable to them. Antipsychotic medications can be given in different ways, as tablets, capsules, or liquid to be given by mouth once or more daily, or as long-term acting injections depot or long-acting injectable antipsychotic medication, that's in brackets, that usually only needs to be given every few weeks. So it's got a lot, there's a list of commonly used oral antipsychotic medications. So these are the tablets you take. Amisulpride. The daily dose is between 50 to 800 milligrams. Maximum dose is 1,200. And there's aripiprazole, which is Abilify. Range of usual medium dose, 10 to 15 milligrams. Maximum dose, 30. Chlorpromazine, 75 to 300 milligrams is the usual range, but the maximum dose is 1,000. Haloperidol, usual range 2 to 10 milligrams, maximum 20. Olanzapine, usual daily dose 5 to 20, maximum daily dose 20. Quetiapine, range of usual daily dose 150 to 750 milligrams, maximum daily dose 700 to 800 milligrams. Risperidone, 4 to 6, range of daily dose 4 to 6 milligrams, maximum daily dose 16. So, the possible side effects of antidepressant medication. Sorry, I got slightly distracted there. The side effects of antipsychotic medication vary in nature and severity between medicines and from person to person. So, as I said before, someone might experience a particular side effect, where someone else may not. I'm pretty sure my memory is partially to do with a side effect of one of my medications. I'm unsure which, though. I think it could be pregabalin, but that's for my fibromyalgia. So you have to bear with me there. Okay, so some of the common and distressing or disabling side effects are as follows. Low blood pressure, sometimes associated with dizziness or standing quickly, feeling sleepy during the day, putting on weight, an increase of developing diabetes, dry mouth, constipation, stiffness and shakes called Parkinsonism because these symptoms resemble Parkinson's disease. Feeling sluggish and slow in your thinking or finding it hard to concentrate. Uncomfortable restlessness. Irregular periods. Breast swelling or tenderness. Interference with your sex life. So that sexual dysfunction. Involuntary movements such as over the mouth, the tongue and jaw. And less commonly of the trunk, arms or legs. Tardive dyskinesia. Usually only seen in the elderly or with long-term treatment. When a person is prescribed antipsychotic medication, they should be given a leaflet containing information about side effects at the same time. Funnily enough, I wasn't, but then there's usually generally leaflets in the boxes that we get over here. I always do research on the medication that I'm taking anyway, because, you know, I'm that kind of person. I think it's really important to understand what's doing what, otherwise you can't manage your medication appropriately because you can't identify what is causing what problems. Well, you know, to the best of your ability anyway. So the text in these leaflets can sometimes be rather too small to read easily, and they are not always written in a way that is easy to understand. Let back that up. If you have questions about this kind of medication and would like more information, talk to a doctor, pharmacist or psychiatric nurse. You may be able to find information about these medicines on the website of your local mental health trust. So there's a couple of different ones. I'm going to skip them. There's depot antipsychotic medication and when is clozapine used. So I'm going to skip to how well does antipsychotic medication work. I'm going to do schizophrenia and mood disorder. I know this podcast isn't about schizophrenia specifically, but I think that, yeah, it, at the end of the day, when you've got possible diagnosis that exists with, like, schizoaffective disorder, it's a mix of bipolar symptoms and schizophrenic symptoms, but you can't really diagnose schizophrenia because it doesn't meet the diagnostic criteria. So, anyway, I shall read this. Okay. How well does antipsychotic medication work? Schizophrenia. For the vast majority of people having their first episode of schizophrenia, the symptoms of the illness will be very much reduced by antipsychotic medication. The person will usually need to stay on this medication for a while to keep control of the symptoms. People who have more than one episode of illness may find that, despite staying on the medication, symptoms will sometimes still return and may need to be treated in hospital. However, such worsening of the illness will occur much less often and be less severe if this prescribed medication is taken regularly. Okay, so next we're doing mood disorder. So technically schizoaffective disorder is a mood disorder. And you've got bipolar, and I'm pretty sure major depressive disorder is also called unipolar, which is a mood disorder. Anyway, but our main concentration is bipolar. So, for those with a bipolar disorder, certain antipsychotic medications can be helpful during episodes of elevated mood and increased activity, hypomania, and periods of low mood and loss of interest in things, depression. Continuing to take these medications that helped, they do actually help for elevated mood and increased activity and paranoid delusions in mania. Right, maybe they'll discuss mania in a minute, but it doesn't look like they are. But yeah, they do help with mania, I can tell you firsthand. So continuing to take these medications that help during an episode of illness is usually the best way to avoid having further episodes and to stay well. Not everyone with the bipolar illness will need an antipsychotic medication. If these medications clearly improve the symptoms in an episode of illness, then the doctor may recommend that the person continues to take them. This is particularly likely to be the case if the illness is not improved with lithium treatment in the past, or if the person cannot take lithium because of its side effects. People with depression and psychotic medication can sometimes work when an episode of illness is proving difficult to treat, or if the illness keeps returning. Not everyone with depression will need an antipsychotic medication. If this medication helps recovery from an episode of illness, the doctor may recommend that the person continues to take it to increase their chances of staying well. Right, so the next one is stopping antipsychotic medication. If someone taking antipsychotic medication is thinking about stopping, it is important to consider what happened during the previous episodes of illness. The risk of the same symptoms and disturbances occurring again needs to be weighed up against not having the side effects of the medication. The prescribing doctor can talk these things through with the person and help them to come to the best decision. And just to come off that for a second, I cannot stress how important it is to not just come off of your antipsychotics, because you will suffer. Not necessarily because they do such bad things to your body, but I mean, it's anything, it's like anything. If, for example, I eat a lot of fruit, on days I don't eat a lot of fruit, I notice it. And if I haven't eaten a lot of fruit for a week, my whole, demeanour is different, and I'm tired and I've got no energy, and that's just fruit. So please do not stop taking your medication without consulting a doctor and explaining why you want to stop your medication, and see if it's the best decision to make for you and your illness. So maybe you can go on a different medication, or maybe you feel like you don't need it and you could have a trial period, but just please discuss it with your doctor. For people with schizophrenia who have had more than one episode of illness, stopping antipsychotic medication more than doubles the risk of becoming unwell again and needing to go into hospital. If a doctor advises a person to continue to take antipsychotic medication but they are reluctant to do so, they should try to list with their doctor all the feelings, thoughts and behaviours that might be indications that the illness is returning or getting worse. So I suppose this is almost like a crisis plan, so you can recognise signs of relapse, and if you start to recognise signs of relapse, then you make sure that you get the help that you need. Okay, so if someone decides they may want to reduce or stop taking antipsychotic medication, it should always be done under the advice of and with support from a doctor. And I will back up the fact that you should stay with a psychiatrist to discuss medication like that. GPs can give antipsychotics, they can prescribe medication like that. However, you may come across someone who doesn't really know what they're doing. I've been lucky with my doctor, whereas if he doesn't feel like he understands what he's doing, he's like, well, you need to talk to this person about it, or you need to talk to your psychiatrist about it. So you need support from a doctor. It is important that they stay in contact with their doctor or mental health worker, even if they have been well for a few weeks or months without medication. Antipsychotics are not addictive, but your body does get used to them, and stopping them suddenly may make you feel physically and or mentally unwell, because your body gets dependent on them, just like anything you eat. If you drink Coca-Cola, your body gets dependent on the caffeine and the sugar. If you eat chocolate all the time, your body gets used to the chocolate and you crave it, and you know, it's just the way the body works. Antipsychotics and so it is best to reduce the dose of medication slowly, giving each reduction a few weeks to take effect. If your symptoms do not return or start to get worse while you are reducing the dose, or after you stop completely, you should see a doctor to discuss your continued care and treatment plan and relapse plan. That's my bit to add on the end. What alternatives are there to antipsychotic medication? The evidence is very clear that nothing else works as well as antipsychotic medications in the treatment or more troublesome symptoms of schizophrenia and some other illnesses. For some people, antipsychotic medication alone is not enough to get them back to a full and active life. Other ways of supporting recovery will be added to continuing antipsychotic treatment rather than replacing it. These include a range of talking treatments, usually provided by a psychologist or a psychiatric nurse, and the assistance of a social worker to help with care needs, including money and housing issues. Occupational therapists and psychiatric nurses can help provide a day of worthwhile structured activity and put people in touch with services in the community that they might find useful. Now, in England, it's not that readily available anymore to have a social worker or a care coordinator, or, you know, like, this, for example, there's one, I'm in the bipolar group, but they aren't in charge of my care. A different department is in charge of my care because of my personality disorder. I can't have a care coordinator because I'm not ill enough. It's mainly for people that are in a time of crisis to get their life back together, and all this occupational therapy stuff. So if you're in the UK, sorry to disappoint you, it's probably not going to happen. Feel free to ask, and if you do manage to get it, then please email me at thatbirdwithabipolar@gmail.com. Okay, so let's just do some further help. Okay, so this is some networks and places you can get help from. This is in the UK. So there's the Hearing Voices Network, Mind and Mind Simru. The info line is 0845 766 0163. That's 0845 766 0163. Mind provides information, advice, training programs, Mind in Your Area grants, and more. Mind also actually provides something called Recovery College, which I have been taking part in the courses, and just having, you know, I've met some really like-minded people, and you know, we're actually going to continue seeing each other, and you know, they're really all of us have our diagnoses, even the people who facilitate the course, but we just have a laugh and we write and we share passion and memories, and yeah, it's great. A great bunch of people. And there's also groups like that give you stuff to do. So every Tuesday is art group, and every Thursday is craft group. And there's Tai Chi, pretty sure there's pottery, and a couple of other things that I can't remember. So there's Rethink. It's a national voluntary organisation that helps people with any severe mental illness, their families and carers. I don't know a lot about Rethink. Maybe I should do that in a future podcast, and include things like the support networks. Okay, so Shine, supporting people with mental health. There's no phone number or anything there. And then there's Sane Line Helpline. So that's Sane, as in insane, but sane, line, helpline. And the number is 0845 767 8000. That's 0845 767 8000. 0845 767 8000. So National Mental Health Helpline, offering emotional support and practical information for people with mental illness, families, carers and professionals. Right, so we've hit the half hour mark, and I have done my first, done an actual informative blog, podcast rather. So I will try to keep these up. I can't say that there'll be any sense of regularity at the moment. I am more hyperactive than I have been. I wrote a 4-page poem earlier. I did a 20-minute video, posted on Facebook. I have been up and down and active, went for an hour-long walk. So I've just been a bit, woo. Sorry, risperidone, second day, and I'm on lamotrigine 400. My pregabalin's been increased to 450 at my request, which is, it's actually for fibromyalgia. However, it works on the GABA receptors in your brain. I won't go into that because otherwise we'll be here for another hour. Alright, something for you to research there. Okay, so I have been asked to do a podcast on BPD anger, and I would really like it if people could get in touch with me with their experiences of BPD anger or BPD rage. So email me at thatbirdwiththebipolar@gmail.com. So thatbirdwiththebipolar@gmail.com. Brilliant. Glad we I finally got this done. I really, really hope it's helpful to someone. I shall do my other medications in the future, maybe one specifically on the medications that I'm on, other medications that I've tried, and the varying antidepressants, antipsychotics, anticonvulsants that are available for people with any one of my disorders. PTSD, BPD, bipolar affective disorder, and fibromyalgia. So, yeah, wicked. Alright then, so take care everyone. Bye.